At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We can all take a deep breath as the Major League Baseball trade deadline comes to a close yesterday at 6 o'clock Eastern. Davis and I will go over that on the show. Naturally, we have a ton to get to here on the program as well. And Davis, definitely, I would say, a very exciting trade deadline. We did see that trade happen during the show in terms of Juan Soto going to San Diego. And boy, it's like trying to unpack all these things, how it will affect teams. Naturally, that's what I'm trying to do today.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the only way yesterday could have gotten more exciting from a transaction perspective was, I guess, one, if Shohei Ohtani decided he was ready to be traded for the Angels, or, you know, there was the possibility that the NBA could have wedged themselves in, done the Kevin Durant trade. So on one day, we would have had Juan Soto, one of the five most valuable players in baseball, given his contract and age status, traded. Kevin Durant traded, and then, of course, the big bombshell in the NFL with the Dolphins having their two picks forfeited as a result of their Tom Brady tampering lawsuit. But it was a huge day. Some big names changed teams. Some less big names also changed teams, but I think going to obviously have an impact on the World Series outcome. So lots to break down, no doubt.
For sure. So let's get to our headlines. We actually have two big headlines today. Let's get through the fantasy stuff first, and then we'll get to the reality. The Dolphins, they lose a first-round pick and also a third-round pick for tampering. We found that out yesterday. It's been covered extensively here on Sports Grid. Broncos wide receiver Tim Patrick suffers a torn ACL, so one name out of the mix. We'll get the ramifications from that. Philadelphia Phillies, they add Noah Syndergaard, and he's going to start real soon for them. Brandon Marsh also is their new center fielder. David Robertson, Phillies got better. A lot of teams got better at the deadline. Juan Soto, Josh Bell are heading to San Diego in a historic trade. A lot of people are calling this similar to the Herschel Walker trade. Maybe several players turn out to be all-stars on the side of the Washington Nationals, who made that big deal yesterday. But naturally, Davis, this is probably, you know, more honestly my story than your story here, and understandably so. Vin Scully, the longtime broadcaster of the Los Angeles Dodgers for I believe it was six decades or five decades, whatever it was, ended up passing away last night. Naturally, for anybody who followed baseball in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, in the 90s, and even the 2000s, Scully is known as the best broadcaster essentially of all time. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, had some of the most unbelievable calls in the history of sports. And Davis, I can say that fortunately for me, the one thing that I always talk about is that I've never let some of these opportunities to meet some of the greats pass me by. Very fortunate to have had conversations, to have met Vin Scully when he was in Vero Beach calling games for the Dodgers during spring training, and also when he visited the old Dolphin Stadium. The Miami Marlins were the Florida Marlins at the time, and the Dodgers used to come here. Vin Scully used to come once a year, and every year when Vin Scully would come, I would make sure that I'd made my appearance, had a bite to eat, or even gone up to the press box. So I can say that for me, it was one of the real great moments to be able to meet him. And I can tell you, Davis, that this is going to hit big in the sports world for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Vince Scully, of course, for me, mostly the voice of the Dodgers. Obviously, he has done lots in his illustrious career. He was a commentator for the Masters from 1975 to 1982, has been involved in, you know, many, many great moments in specifically the history of baseball, but did other sports as well. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I think every generation has their own Vince Scully experience. Mm-hmm. Mine was, in college and stuff, when I was playing a lot of MLB Daily Fantasy, you know, sweating out all these slates, these late showdown slates and everything. Like, you know, the in the Midwest, a Dodgers game starts at 9:10, 9:30, and that, you know, your day is pretty much winded down. You've done the whole thing, and the Dodgers are the last team left playing, and you just have them on and you get the warm fuzzies. I would always love listening to the Dodgers broadcast when they'd be playing in Colorado. I just always had a great memory of those games. But yeah, Vince Scully, definitely a titan of our industry. No doubt.
Yeah, no question. And there'll probably, you know, never be another one like him to do it as long as he did. I mean, think about him broadcasting games, Davis. He broadcast games that Jackie Robinson played in. And he broadcast games Cody Bellinger played in. I mean, think about that, the longevity of how long that has to go. So certainly, as Davis mentioned, I think a titan is definitely a good way to put it there. Okay, so we're going to focus a lot on baseball coming up. So real quick, let's just hit on this Broncos story real quick. Any fantasy ramifications from Tim Patrick? I think that you had mentioned at one point you liked him, if I'm not mistaken, in the past. Am I completely off on that?
I mean, pretty big fantasy ramifications because the Broncos don't really have anyone behind Judy Sutton and KJ Hamler. It's Travis Fulgham, Tyree Cleveland, Seth Williams, you know, lots of guys with very minimal NFL production and not a ton of draft pedigree. So the onus on those three guys to perform is pretty massive, I think, you know, because Denver is all in. They do this huge trade to acquire 33-year-old Russell Wilson. Like, there's no time to sit and wait around, you know, to get better. They need to be thinking about winning a Super Bowl this season.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
And so the onus on those three guys. And look, to be honest, Jerry Jeudy has been bad as an NFL player up until this point. Yeah. So I think we're going to need to see more from those guys.
Agreed. All right, coming up next, this is probably, honestly, here on Fantasy Sports Today, the last extensive fantasy baseball show here with us as we really pivot over to fantasy football starting tomorrow. I'm actually really proud that Davis and I and Brett got this far into the fantasy baseball season. So let's roll it back. Let's do a couple more on that, and we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, well, the trade deadline is past us. We're here on August the 3rd. David says he's still going to play DFS through the end of the season. I am very impressed with that because, for me, my baseball acumen definitely starts to dip a little after the trade deadline. I still follow the Marlins, and I still follow what's going on, and I'm back for the postseason, no question. But this is when I start to get into fantasy football this time. Davis has been doing it since June, since July. But we thought today on the show it would be important for us to take one last look at the trade deadline and the things that happened and how they could affect fantasy the rest of the season. And naturally, Davis, everybody is talking about the San Diego Padres and their attempt to go all in on the deals that they made yesterday. And it certainly appears they are all in at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, if you're going to trade away what is the bulk of your farm system to acquire Juan Soto. Now, you know, I think this is a little bit different. You know, a lot of the times in professional sports when we talk about going all in, I mean, it happens the most in basketball. It happens the most in the NBA where you trade away out, you know, your future first round picks, any young guy you have are any good. But, I mean, Juan Soto is a proven commodity, and what, he's 22, 23? I mean, just a very, very young player. And the reason why he was even available to be traded was because the Washington Nationals did not want to give him, you know, the mega millions, $38 million a year, 15-year contract that is very common in baseball. And one could rationally assume that the San Diego Padres acquired him for all of these prospects with the idea that they will be giving him that mega contract. So in a way, they did go all in on this year, but it's not as if Juan Soto is a 33-year-old power hitter who you can only play at DH and is going to be an albatross by the end of that contract, right? This is not the Angels acquiring Pujols or Miguel Cabrera getting his mega contract or, you know, Edwin Encarnacion or whatever. This is a cornerstone of your franchise that you're going to be able to build around for, I mean, for as long as, like, for the foreseeable future, right? What is the world going to look like in 15 years? We have no idea. This is just a great deal. I mean, A+, 10 out of 10, could not ask for more if you were a Padres fan. And honestly, I think tilts the balance of power in that division going forward, because if you look at, you look at the Dodgers roster, look at the Padres roster, go who is the absolute best, most valuable player on the 40-man roster, it's Soto, right? Soto is better in terms of value and production on the field than any Dodgers player. So I think just a massively good addition.
Yeah, Soto, Machado, and Tatis. I mean, that is some core. And you bring up a really good point, Davis, because probably the way the Padres are looking at this is, yes, we absolutely are all in and we want to win this year. But going into next season, it's the Dodgers that are going to have some work to do, because the Padres will be favorites to win the NL West next season, in my opinion. They get Soto, they get Bell, they get Josh Hader, and they also make a late trade to get Brandon Drury. So that's naturally where the Padres are. They're very far out of winning the division, but they'll be very formidable in the postseason and probably very formidable, I would say, coming up in 2023 as well, for sure. All right, let's move over to the New York Yankees as they make some significant deals. And one that really caught my eye at the very end, like, I was deep into the Marlins stuff, Davis, and so I missed this Bader move. And then I was going up the elevator at the stadium, and I was like, what? They got Harrison Bader? When did that happen? Andrew Benintendi, that's the key one. Scott Efros, Frankie Montas, Lou Trevino. I think Lou Trevino will turn it around. He's had a tough year. And then Bader, like, out of nowhere from the Cardinals. And I guess, you know, Dylan Carlson's going to play center field. But, you know, Jordan Montgomery, to me, like, he was fine. But I really think that's a great under-the-radar move for them for this year and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, Harrison Bader is, like, a very average major league outfielder, you know, at this stage in his career. He's got a career 316 weighted on-base average. He was playing worse than that this year. 264 plate appearances, 5 home runs, 15 steals. Basically did the reverse of that last year. 16 home runs, 9 steals, hit 267. I mean, does Harrison Bader move the needle? Like, not really to me. And it's like, that's a team that's kind of jammed up at outfield anyway. So I don't know if I make a ton of sense out of that. I mean, I do think that the Frankie Montas addition is pretty strong for them. You know, honestly, if for no reason other than that, and I wonder your thoughts on this, I would just prefer to have as many right-handed pitchers going into the playoffs as possible, right? So if you're replacing a left-hander with a right-hander, it's just like, for very simple reasons. You go up against the Blue Jays, you go up against the Astros, you toss out a lefty against them, that guy is not getting in through five innings because he is going to be facing nine right-handed batters and is at so much more of a danger of getting beaten up. Even if, you know, all things being equal, the right-handed starting pitcher is maybe of a slightly worse quality than the lefty. And then also, you know, like the Yankees playing freaking Yankee Stadium, the short porch is 315 feet away. If you're tossing a lefty out there against nine righties, like that's a bad situation to put them in. So I thought that was a pretty clever move by the Yankees, honestly.
Yeah, and look, this Efros deal may be important as well. We don't know how good Clay Holmes is going to be in the postseason, and Chapman hasn't looked like himself. So I think the Yankees did fine in what they did. Now, the Red Sox, Davis, I'm just having a hard time figuring out what they're doing. Tommy Pham goes there, and I guess there's a relationship with him and Chaim Bloom, who used to be in Tampa. Reese McGuire at catcher, I mean, I guess, okay. They lost their starting catcher, and they add McGuire. And then they took on Eric Hosmer. Now, my understanding is, I have a better understanding now of Hosmer here, is that essentially this was a situation where once he declined the move, Davis, you know, the Padres just like presented him with like, here's a bunch of places that you can go. Here are the options. And he chose Boston. That's my understanding on that one. So did he make the right choice? I'm just not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really get why Hosmer, like, I mean, I guess he wanted to go somewhere where he could play, and there, I mean, the Red Sox, you know, they're one, you'd rather be a left-handed batter than a right-handed batter in Fenway, so maybe that just gets him more playing time naturally, right? You know, maybe they just give him a little bit more plate appearances, and, you know, he's going to get some pinch hit appearances or whatever. And I certainly do not blame him for not wanting to go to the Washington Nationals, right? I wouldn't want to go to the Washington Nationals. He could end up getting some postseason baseball. I kind of thought for a little bit yesterday that he was going to come home to Kansas City, that it was just like, you know, maybe they give the Royals some cash or some, you know, high A pitching prospect, just because in order to get that deal done, it appeared that Hosmer needed to be involved in some way. Now, again, I know, compared to my knowledge of the NBA CBA, I know like literally nothing about the Major League Baseball collective bargaining agreement in terms of how it impacts transactions and trades and whatnot. But and also, where was Hosmer going to play, right? Like how is Hosmer going to get on the field for the Padres? So I don't know. I mean, I guess he probably plays a decent amount for the Red Sox. It's like, I don't know. He's just not good anymore, which is sad because he was a great player.
He's had a good year. He's had a good year. You know, the interesting part with him is that it's like, what do you do when you're presented with, Davis, like Pittsburgh, Washington, Boston, maybe Miami? Like, what do you do? You know, and I think he probably just had the best of those choices. Okay, and the Twins. Let's get to the Twins. Jorge Lopez, Michael Fulmer. I talked to Tyler Molly yesterday. He was like in shock that he was going to Minnesota. Did this do enough for them to win the division? It doesn't feel like the White Sox did much, and Cleveland was just like, nah, we're good.
Yeah, Cleveland might win this division, and it will be not out of anything they did. It'll be out of literally pure apathy, right? I mean, the White Sox, I've not looked at the standings today, but for a while, yeah, I mean, the Guardians are still ahead of the White Sox in the standings. Think about how ridiculous that is for the White Sox to be spending all this money. They have all these young pitching prospects, that, you know, Eloy, and like the Guardians literally don't care. The Guardians were thinking about trading Jose Ramirez because they didn't want to pay him. The Twins have needed to solve their pitching stuff for like, what, 10 years now? They've had a bad pitching staff. So I don't mind these moves. They seem fine.
Yeah, it seems like this gives like the Twins two more wins that they probably didn't have at the beginning of the season. Interesting there. All right, coming up next, we've got the Wyndham Championship coming up. And hey, Dubs is back in the house. So we'll get a preview of that. And then I'll be back for some fantasy or reality. And of course, the Sports Grid 60. As we get ready for another great fantasy weekend, football's back tomorrow. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Matic, joined as always on Wednesday afternoon by our friend Dubs Anderson, giving Craig a little break as we talk about the world of golf and also the English Premier League season as it is going to kick off this Friday afternoon, Crystal Palace versus Arsenal. We have the Wyndham Championship this week and a decent event over in Europe as well. No LIV golf this week. Henrik Stenson wins on the LIV Tour, I think proving that maybe the quality of play over there, you know, maybe Brooks and Bryson and DJ when they wake up in the morning, maybe they're not 100% game focused. I think about 2 years ago, those guys losing to Henrik Stenson, they would have considered that kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, and there's no motivation for those guys, Davis. They're paying before they even get to the golf course, and that's what we saw. It's a party. It's got a real buzz to it, but in terms of serious golf, nah, we're still going to keep it right with the PGA Tour. Great to see Tony Finau go back-to-back, the big fella. I think the last time was Bryson DeChambeau, actually, a few years ago, and now this is the last event this week, the Wyndham Championship before the FedEx Cup playoffs. So for all the golfers on the course this week, they've got to get inside the top 125, the bubble boys, if you will. But I don't like that extra pressure, Davis. Anyone sitting right around 120, 125, your Ricky Fowlers, your Scott Piercy's, I'm probably going to have to stay away from. Central Country Club, if we're looking for the prototype, the small ball gets it done here. Kevin Kisner won in a six-way playoff last year. Webb Simpson, everyone's talking about Webb Simpson this week. For me, I'm going to stay away from him. I mean, he's named the daughter Wyndham. He's had, what, 9 top 10s, a win, runners-up, third places. So the small ball warrior, this is the week they can contend.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite anecdotes. Every time we get here on the golf calendar, just to remember that Webb Simpson named his daughter Wyndham. So yeah. Definitely the small ball totally comes into play here. You know, great wedge players. This was actually one of the first events when Tiger came back after his second injury. I believe it was the first time he was in final group on Sunday. Didn't end up winning, but I do remember he played with Tom Hoagie, and it was the first time Tom Hoagie was in a final group, and I talked to Tom about it, and he was like, most nervous I've ever been in my life. First time ever in a final pairing on Sunday, going off with Tiger. The crowd's with me the whole day. But it's, I mean, look, it's a shorter golf course. These guys, they're going to absolutely have to be dialed in on their wedges. Some of the guys who are driver only actually get themselves into trouble here because, I mean, you know this, Dubs. You played a fair amount of golf. Big difference between getting in that right range with your wedge, you know, 60, 80 yards out, your full swing, your gap wedge, you're like, great shot. Then you're sitting at 30, 35 with that wedge. It's a different shot. You got to take some off of it. So definitely something to remember as we head into the card this week. Some of the guys I like in DFS, I know I just talked about not liking the guys who take driver, but anytime I can get Aaron Wise on a golf course that just doesn't really have much teeth, you know, if there's not a ton of water, not a ton of trees he can hit it into, he can just bomb it. I like him. Sebastian Munoz definitely would. So he is inside the 125, but he would like, there's kind of that second layer of guys who can get enough points that they could be bad the first week of the FedEx playoffs and still get to the second week, because that's a huge pay jump, right? So going from the first cut to the second cut, that's a huge pay jump. Corey Connors, same deal as Wise, great tee to green player, not as strong with the putter, not as strong with the wedges, but just not a ton of trouble for these guys to get in here. And then Matthew Neesmith, who just, to me, has kind of just been knocking on the door all year long, another great tee to green guy, but definitely going with my guys who I'm just hoping that it doesn't matter if they're in the rough from 20 yards off the green, that they're still going to be able to make birdies this week.
Yeah, and I look at that card, Davis, as a common theme. They're all chess players. They really know how to work it around the golf course, keep it in play. Aaron Wise, I've also got him on my card. Sebastian Munoz, love his golf game. That's a guy who can make birdies in bunches. If we need to run the tables and get it to 21, 22 under par, Sebastian Munoz can do that. Corey Connors, I mean, I love this guy's golf game. He is the Canadian Louis Oosthuizen. I'm surprised he hasn't had more wins on the PGA Tour, but of course, this is a golf course that's going to reward good iron play. Corey Connors has that. And Matty Naismith, I mean, the breakthrough win is coming. We saw it there at the Valspar, how close he was getting. You look at the stats, and everything says that Matty Naismith should contend more often on the PGA Tour. I'm not sure why he's not, but at least this season we're starting to see a bit of an improvement. Maybe this is the kind of golf course for Matty Naismith. Again, similar boat for me, Davis. I'm staying away from the big bombers who can find a bit of trouble out there. A guy who is a little erratic, But I like his course history here, and I like what I've seen the last couple of starts. Siwoo Kim, he's won on this course. Last two starts finished inside the top 10. Last two starts on the tour has finished inside the top 15. Siwoo Kim at 8,800. I'll throw in, you've got Aaron Wise there. What about little Scotty Stallings, best calves in the business? Not great course history, but I like what I've seen on the PGA Tour. Again, he's not a factor on the longer golf courses, but these shorter tracks really suit Scotty Stallings. And Alex Smalley. Smalley by name, Smalley by reputation. He's a member here at Sedgefield Country Club. He's been having a pretty good season. I look at his last sort of 10 starts. He's got five top 30s and then five missed cuts. So he's, you know, he's either playing at a really high clip or he's not sticking around for the weekend. I like that he's got that local knowledge here at Sedgefield Country Club. And of course, don't sleep on the Wake Forest boys. But again, when is Will Zalatoris finally going to get that breakthrough win? Him and Webb Simpson, they're going to be heavily owned this week, Davis.
Yeah, so the list of guys I'm not playing, don't really have a problem with any of their games. I think they're all fine, especially really would not surprise me to see Siwoo Kim win this event. I mean, we know the deal with Siwoo is very wide range of outcomes, but the guy makes birdies with the absolute best of them. But Kevin Kisner, Webb Simpson, Russell Henley, Siwoo Kim. I mean, Webb is going to be insanely popular for a $10,700 golfer. And then Siwoo Kim might be the most owned guy on DraftKings this week. And that's just, I mean, you know, there's obviously a little bit more of a science to it. Like sometimes a 25% owned Tony Finau can be the right play, as we saw last week, right? Doesn't matter, but just avoiding these guys, you know, just kind of in general, I don't love to go too heavily with the course fit. You know, people are really focusing on the shorter, more accurate hitters this week. And at the end of the day, I mean, it is still easier to make birdies when the ball is closer to the hole, you know?
That's a proven. So, and we saw that last year. What six guys in the playoff, you know, there was a variance up there. Kevin Kisner, you know, eventually got it done. But, you know, good drive of the golf ball. As you say, David, so I'm going to take the good bigger guy over the good little guy, if you will. If you've got 50 yards in, that's a huge advantage and coming from 100 yards in. Why? Because you can spin the ball, control the ball a lot more. So totally agree with that one. Sung Jae-im, I'm not big on him. Shane Lowry's back in action this week. I don't think he's going to run the tables. And, you know, Webb Simpson, I just haven't seen enough form out of him on the PGA Tour this year. Has not looked like the Webb Simpson we're used to. So I'm going to stay away from him. I'd love to see a value play. And you look at the winners here, previous editions, you know, Jim Herman's, Brant Snedeker's. We need a bolter. We need a flyer. It's the last week of the regular season. Wacky events, you know, wacky things go down here at the Wyndham Championship. We saw it from Chesson Hadley last year.
Yeah. All right. So finally, it has come the time on the program. We are going to turn our attention to the English Premier League because we have some futures here for top goal scorer in the league, of course, headlined by Erling Haaland at 2.5 to 1. Mo Salah, Harry Kane, Gabby Jesus, Darwin Nunez, Sun Hung Min, of course, Gabby Jesus on a new team. Transferring from Manchester City to Arsenal. Darwin Nunez coming from the Portuguese top flight and now slotting in just perfectly there in the spot vacated by Sadio Mane for Liverpool. You know, pretty interesting stuff here because I would actually say Luis Diaz would maybe be my favorite Liverpool bet. Of course, the problem being Mohamed Salah is taking all of the penalties for Liverpool. So that, you know, if there was a way to bet on this, just open play goals, no penalties, I do think it would be a little bit more of an interesting market.
Yeah, and look, that's a similar boat for me there, Davis. So I'm looking at Harry Kane, but I'm also looking at Min there, 16 to 1. What he bagged, 23 goals last campaign up there with Mo Salah. I like that. I guess the big talk there, Erling Haaland, they're already saying, hey, he's not the man for the job. He had one bad outing there last weekend where he didn't, you know, capitalize on a few opportunities. So interested to see what he's going to bring this season. I mean, I don't recall a guy having so much hype coming in to a campaign. And Man City, do they even need more hype? Do they need more star players for Pep Guardiola? That's going to be the team to beat. Very chalky in the English Premier League. And again, Cristiano Ronaldo leaving the stadium there last weekend before the game had even finished. He's been announced on the bench this weekend for Manchester United. I can't imagine he's sticking around past early September. They're going to be flops again this year, Davis. We thought last year they were getting ready to take on Man City and Liverpool. Now look where they are. Please, it's a mess.
I mean, I think the only way Manchester United are able to finish top four is if of course, I don't think Ron can play at all, right? And then I'm sort of intrigued by the idea of only playing the young guys at forwards. You know, no Cavani, no Ronaldo. Yeah. You play Martial, you play Elanga, you play Rashford, you play Sancho. And then the issue, though, for me is that, you know, the way the modern game works, it's all about pressing, right? So, like, when Liverpool recruit these forwards, you got to be a forward that wants to run. And I don't know how a Christian Eriksen, Bruno Fernandes midfield works, right? That feels a little bit tricky, especially if you don't have, you know, an N'Golo Kante, a world-class central defensive midfielder behind. Fred is all right. McTominay is all right. You know, these are good but not great players. And I think it's going to be another year of Manchester remaining blue instead of red. But I hope that, you know, as we go through the season, maybe we will talk about a little bit of EPL Daily Fantasy. We can update you on what's going on. There should be, I believe the transfer window is open until the 1st of September. So maybe the next time you come on, we'll know where Ronaldo is. Maybe Chelsea will have added someone. There's always something going on in the world of soccer. Dubs, thank you very much for joining us on the program. That was a quick look at the Wyndham Championship and some of the futures odds for the English Premier League. Craig Mish is going to rejoin me here in just a few moments on the show as we are going to return to fantasy or reality. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid. We'll be back here in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid. Are you following us on Twitter? If not, you should. Here's how you do it. Just go to our Twitter handle, @SportsGrid, @SportsGridTV. Latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread. The NFL preseason starts tomorrow, so naturally our NFL coverage is going to increase dramatically here. I guess the question is, Davis, I guess we could talk a little bit about this tomorrow as well, but this is going to come up on all of our shows. Betting the NFL preseason. Do you dare? Do you look at any of these games? To me, this is probably one of the more ridiculous options to bet on. I suppose maybe you feel like you can get an edge somehow, but I don't know. For me, it's usually a pass.
I mean, you're more likely to get an edge in a preseason NFL game than you are to get an edge in an NFL regular season game, right? The NFL regular season game, you know, even the most stingy of sports books are going to have very high limits. The world's biggest sports books are taking, you know, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 aside. They're going to be the most liquid markets, whereas a preseason game, very similar to player props, right? The limits are very low. The lines are going to move quickly. So, you know, if there's a report, for example, the Jaguars tomorrow night are only going to have two quarterbacks, and one of them is like a practice squad guy, camp arm, who has no chance of even making the roster. Now, I don't even know what the actual line is, but that would be a spot where if you got that information early, or you happen to be reading the beat writer tweets, you know, as they were coming out, probably a small edge for you there. But I've not bet the Hall of Fame game. But I would set the line at me betting a preseason game at like -110 both sides. Like, definitely a chance I do it.
All right. Well, I probably will get involved in some way here on the show. Hard to do, that's for sure. All right, let's kick it. Time for some fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, we know that this has been done before. You don't necessarily have to win the division to win the World Series. There's a lot of history of this happening, and teams come out of nowhere. Washington Nationals a couple of years ago, who had them winning the World Series? Probably no one. The Padres, Davis, no matter what they do, they're not winning the division. They're not winning the division here in 2022. There's only 60 games left. They are 12 games out of the NL West. But how about just winning the pennant? Can they do it? Fantasy or reality? The Padres will win the pennant. They got to beat the Dodgers for sure. They're probably going to have to beat the Mets. Can they do it? Fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I got fantasy here. I don't think that it's going to happen for them this season. Now, it doesn't mean that that this was a bad trade or anything like that. As we were talking about in the second segment today, I mean, this is a trade that sets them up to be really good for a lot. Right, Tatis signed the mega contract, right? He's on like the crazy 13-year deal or whatever. Machado is locked down, and now they can kind of just and by the way, very attractive place to come as a free agent now, the San Diego Padres, in a way that maybe they would not have been in years past. But just kind of looking at their team right now, they definitely do still have a couple holes. I mean, probably the largest hole would just be they've made a lot of these free agent signings at starting pitcher that have not super worked out. Now, Yu Darvish has gotten better this season. Remember, he started out really bad to start the year. Blake Snell hasn't really worked out how they wanted to. Manaea's been okay. Clevenger's been okay. Like, they have a lot of really good, maybe number two, number three starters. But what do we always talk about in the playoffs, right? It's Clayton Kershaw. It's Justin Verlander. It's Jacob DeGrom. It's these guys who are 10 out of 10, the peak of their performance. So I they're not going to win it this year, but I think they will be a World Series favorite amongst them for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that this is fantasy. They're not going to win the NL pennant. I agree with you. They're going to be dominant down the stretch. But, you know, to me, I think that they're going to need a full year of all these guys doing it together, to be honest with you, Davis. Like, this is rare where a team just grabs a bunch of mercenaries for a year or two and wins. Hader is going to add a lot, of course, to their team. You're probably going to get shut down now in the eighth or ninth inning. Let's also not forget Joe Musgrove, Davis, just got $100 million the other day, too. So I think going into next year, I'll probably be picking them. But I still think that they're a year away from making this happen. Also, we got to be clear on this. Davis, Fernando Tatis Jr., I mean, this dude does not play all year. Like, we have no idea what he's going to be when he comes back. Next year's a different story. I mean, you could still make the case that Tatis is the best player on the Padres, even with Soto and Manny Machado. So got to see him, too. For fantasy reality's sake, go in fantasy. I'm with you. All right, a rite of passage this time of year. August means preseason football. It means NFL training camp. It means injuries. But what it also means, Dave, it means Hard Knocks, too. But what it also means is it means we're going to get these random fights on the field in training camp. And by the way, fights between the same teams, usually. Like, you know, two guys on the same team. Fantasy reality, you find this to be a big deal, seeing these fights.
This is a fantasy. The one that happened yesterday was between Brandon Ayuk and Fred Warner at the San Francisco 49ers training camp, and it was, you know, pretty much exactly what you'd expect. Ayuk was like, you know, he was making me mad, he was bothering me, and then Fred Warner was like, you know, I was using this as a motivational tool. I think Brandon Ayuk is a great player. You know, he kind of went a little bit wayward last offseason. We need to make sure to keep him engaged. We need to make sure to keep him working hard because we think he's really good. Football is so stupid. I mean, look, Craig, I love fantasy football, but football culture is so dumb. I mean, truly, like, football culture is just so full of just idiotic crap, and the fights are definitely part of it. So I don't, not for me, certainly. You know, these storylines are for a different generation, a different style of football fan than me. They're not a big deal to me at all.
Yeah, so I have some context here with this a little bit, because covering the NFL on the field for, I would say, for me, probably about a decade of covering the Buccaneers and covering training camp and covering the Dolphins and covering training camp. And I would say, Davis, if I did it 10 years, and I think I did, if I did it 10 years and showed up every year there was a fight, every single year there was some sort of fight on the field. Now, I live in Florida. It's a little bit different than the rest of the country. That is true. But Davis, the nature of these big 200, 300-pound guys going at it early in the morning when it is hot as you know what, this is what happens. It just blows over. These guys don't want to be there. You don't see fights, by the way, on the first day, Davis. You see them on what? Day six, day seven, day five. Right. They've looked at each other. They're staring at each other every day. These are big dudes who want to fight. You know, they want to go at it against another team, and they don't get that opportunity. Now, what you're going to start seeing now over the next few days are the teams are going to train with other teams too. You're going to see fights there too. It's a physical sport, and Davis is right. This is not a big deal at all. I just wanted to give some context to that. It's about the summer. It's about the heat. It's about they're tired of looking at each other, the same guys every single day. They want to face competition. Yeah, and that's exactly what this is. I've seen it over and over again. I've been in the locker room after this happens, and they all say this every single time, and I believe it in that case, especially in Florida, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Miami. It is so hot, and these guys are outside. They just want to be done. All right, finally, let's get to concerts. And now, look, concerts are back, and so naturally, there's an opportunity to go see different groups play. We're seeing a lot of tours going on right now. One of the more popular tours of all time, of course, was the Grateful Dead. And then naturally, Phish is a band that a lot of people follow on tour wherever they go. And well, listen, we're not going to say that this is something that you have done, Davis, for months at a time, but you know, maybe a couple of different legs on a tour, fantasy or reality, you have followed a band on tour.
Yeah, this is a fantasy. Now, I have seen the same artist multiple times. In fact, multiple artists I've seen multiple times, right? I've seen them in concert in Kansas City, in St. Louis, in Chicago, in a couple different places, but never on the same tour. I've never seen the same tour well, you know, actually, I think maybe one summer I accidentally maybe saw Post Malone at a show in Kansas City and then also saw him at Lollapalooza. So maybe technically he was on the same tour. I'd have to go back and check the dates on those to see if they match up. But I have never, you know, done the Phish, the Grateful Dead experience where it's me, some buddies, and a van, and we're traveling across the countryside following, you know, the Grateful Dead tour bus. Certainly I would not turn my nose up at this, right? You know, if however in my life, if this opportunity opened up, you know, I didn't have to work for a month, or I could take the time off and some buddies were available and we could go and do it, totally, like, I would do it. I would definitely be down to do it. I love live music. I love concerts. I guess, although, you know, I haven't been to a ton. I've been to a couple post COVID and they're fine. You know, but I definitely, when I was, you know, 20, 21, 22, I loved live music. I loved concerts, but have not done this in real life.
Yeah. And in context here, which is important, you see the picture of Guy Fieri. He and his son Hunter have been following Rage Against the Machine on their tour, which is kind of funny to see this. So have followed a band on tour. I've seen like the same group, like I've seen Billy Joel a million times, but yeah, this is a fantasy for me. I have not like gone to back-to-back concerts. Actually, I take it back. I have seen the same group like twice in the same town, but I have not like traveled anywhere or followed anyone. But the one group that does come to mind to me, Davis, and again, no interest for me in particular, but I do have a lot of friends that I went to college with and even beyond that will follow Phish around. When Phish comes, they will go to several shows, like the Southeast or the Northeast or the Northwest. Now, obviously, that's a completely different dynamic. Anybody who follows them sort of knows it's like a different deal there. But I personally am not one of those people. But I'm sure you know people who follow Phish, too.
I don't know anyone who's followed Phish. I know I have a buddy in DFS who has seen they're not called the Grateful Dead anymore. Dead and Company now, because they have is Jerry Garcia, one of the guys died. I'm not a big Grateful Dead
for a long time. Yeah, he's been dead.
So there you go. So it's Dead and Company now, and they're without Jerry Garcia, and he's not followed them, but he's seen Dead and Company like 30 times or whatever, right? Now, have you ever seen the same performer do the same performance? Because this is, you know, you're at a concert and the performer's talking and they're interacting with the audience, and it, you know, it's all generated to feel very organic and like you're really having a moment with the artist. So I have seen the same guy do the same show with the same bits of phony organic dialogue that are supposed to be tailored to the experience, and that was kind of a wool off the eyes moment where you're like, yeah, this guy doesn't care. I mean, he cares. He's having a nice time, but this is all written and pre-programmed, you know, it's somewhere else.
Yeah. I can only think of seeing Billy Joel back-to-back nights. It's the only one that I can think that I've seen. He did like five shows and my wife went to three or something like that of the five. And I went to the first two and Billy Joel mixed it up. It was not exactly the same. It definitely was not. He said some of the same things, but it was definitely not fully scripted. He was off saying different things about the second night, or that was, this is what happened last night. So I have not had that experience, but I get it. All right, coming up next is the Sports Grid 60. Kevin and Donnie coming up at the top of the hour, and then I'm back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. So stay on the grid, as we'll be back with more right after this. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Matic. Before we go, we'd like to deliver some commentary here at the end of the show. Never know what's on the mind of Davis. Let's find out. Here is today's Sports Grid 60.
Well, we did unfortunately have our first big injury domino fall yesterday with Tim Patrick tearing his ACL at Broncos training camp. And, you know, this has obviously been my experience with fantasy football for a long time, is every offseason, you know, it's not the Tim Patrick range of guys, you know, pick 110, pick 115. Eventually, there's going to be a top 40, top 30, top 20 guy who is going to get injured for multiple weeks. You know, Van Jefferson is going in for a knee surgery. But, you know, I do hope eventually at some point in my life that we go through a full off season of NFL training camp with no serious injuries to, you know, really important offensive players. Probably a pipe dream. Probably the least favorite thing about, you know, doing this professionally is, you know, kind of having to readjust on the fly and have all these drafts that are changed post facto as a result of these injuries. But definitely the least enjoyable part of the fantasy football off season, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. Don't want injuries, for sure. I'm going to end the show with Vin Scully. I'm going to end my afternoon show with Vin Scully. I mean, this was just, I mean, you kind of knew eventually that this was going to come when somebody is in their 90s. You know, at some point, you know, the day will come where we're going to lose a legend of the game. And I have so many stories to share with Vin Scully. I'll share one here. I'll share probably the same one maybe this afternoon. But at spring training games many years ago in Vero Beach, Vin Scully would show up, broadcast like two games, and at the end of each game he would literally come out of his booth and sign autographs and take pictures with fans for over an hour every single time that he showed up, and didn't have to do it, but that's just who he was. Very big loss for baseball, for sure. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to Dubs for coming on, our graphics department, of course, LTN, and for my producer Brett Levy, co-host Davis Matic, I'm Craig Mish. We'll see you back here at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire.